This is an ABC podcast.
G'day, welcome to The Shake Up. I'm Dave Marchese and I'm really happy to welcome you to the end of the week. You're gearing up for a big couple of days or maybe you're working through. Either way, it's time to have a bit of fun, unwind, look back on some of the stories this week that got you talking.
Hack. Have you heard the phrase, okay, boomer?
I am a boomer. I get okayed all the time.
A restaurant has banned diners with visible tattoos and designer-labelled apparel.
We'll be talking lots with Tony and all our friends in Australia.
On Triple J.
Hey, there's a lot to dive into. Generation wars, politician fails. So let's jump in, and with me on The Shake Up today, two perfect guests. Couldn't ask for more perfect guests. First, reporter on The Today Show, Isabella Stashkovsky. Isa, welcome back to Hack.
Hello, thanks for having me.
How you doing? You looking forward to the weekend?
Oh, yeah, and Stranger Things, which has come out, and I'm so excited to watch.
Hey, there's been a big build-up to this. I know heaps of people are going to be really excited, so we know what you're doing on the weekend. And our next Shake Up guest, we've got to find out what he's up to. Entrepreneur, business owner, podcaster, musician, Raph Dixon, is there anything you don't do?
I don't sleep. Oh, I'll be working this weekend.
Oh, what the hell?
Yeah, because someone's got to keep this economy going.
Well, that's the thing. I'm always like really pumped up at this time. I'm like, it's the end of the week. You're all having a great time. But, you know, some people do have to work. And we thank those people for
you're welcome
keeping the country going. Raph, thank you so much. Thank you. And as always, I want your thoughts as well on all the big issues if you're listening. Get involved. Let us know what you think. Time to get into it.
Hack. For the first time in ages, boomers are set to no longer be the dominant age demographic. They're about to be overtaken by millennials.
On Triple J. All right. I don't want to get into this whole thing of pitting Gen Zs up against millennials. I actually do kind of want to do that a little bit, let's be honest. Because we got the census data back this week, and there's some big news in it, right? Millennials are about to overtake boomers as the biggest generational group. So get ready for a whole new world.
Hack!
What can I get for you today, sir?
I'll just grab the smashed avo, thanks.
Smashed avo, great choice. No worries at all. I'll just bring it out in a minute.
That's the chef's special smashed avocado.
Why is it so expensive?
It's vegan.
All right,
I'll
throw one in, please.
Yeah, yep. No worries.
Wait, is this play about us?
When I was trying to buy my first home, I wasn't buying smashed avocados for $19 and four coffees at $4
each. So you reckon that's real? That people actually, young people, end up just spending their money and then whinge about the fact they can't get into the property market?
Oh, there's no question it's real.
I've never even tried it.
Have you heard the phrase, okay, boomer?
I love it. It's great. It's perfect.
I use it probably every day.
Terrible fashion in the 70s. Music was okay, but fashion was terrible.
I am a boomer. I get okayed all the time.
For the first time in ages, boomers are set to no longer be the dominant age demographic. They're about to be overtaken by millennials. So I guess there's going to be more census questions about adulting or Harry Potter next time or something. I don't know.
On Triple J. Oh, hey, Claudia Long, our political reporter with all the burns for millennials there. She can do it because she's Gen Z, right? I want to know what you reckon of all this. Particularly interested in Gen Z's take on this. You ready for the millennials' reign of terror to begin? Maybe you find them just as annoying as millennials find boomers. What do you reckon? Also, guys, remember, we're generalising here, you know? It's all good. We're not attacking anyone. It's a little bit of fun. Call in 1300 055 536. You can message in as well, 0439 757 555, with me to chat on The Shake Up. Today's show reporter, Isa Stashkovsky, and small business owner, Raph Dixon. Isa, we'll start with you. Are you a millennial?
I think so. What? Isn't that always?
Yeah, see, this is the thing. Everyone's like, so hold on, what's that again?
I'm pretty sure I am a millennial.
What can you say what year you were born?
I'm 1995.
Oh, you just scrape in. So, yeah, millennials born between 1981 and 1996.
So I am, yes.
So it's, you're on the cusp. What do you think of all this? Were you surprised? Were you stoked when you saw this?
Yes, no, I mean, I think when you think about the world changing, you know, it's the people who are making the big decisions that are going to change everything, right? So I guess more millennials, more people voting, we've seen that in the recent elections. So is the world going to change with lots of millennials? Maybe. I mean, see you later, boomers.
That's what, and we've got some messages on the text line. James in Bundjalung country's already come up with a catchphrase. It's going to be, okay, millennial. Going to get rid of okay, boomer. Raph, do you think we just love to beat up this intergenerational tension, or do you reckon it's real and, you know, it's warfare?
I mean, look, it's unquestionable that boomers are the most entitled generation that has ever been on the planet. But, I mean, I always plays this experiment, do you think that, like, if millennials were in their position, you know, free tertiary education, like houses that are only four times income, liberalisation of markets, would we have done anything different?
No.
No, we would have done exactly the same selfish thing.
Yeah, you would have, you've got like 50 houses you would have, is that, if you could have.
And then be saying that, like, yeah, millennials are lazy.
We've got some messages coming through. Sarah says, just remember, Gen X hates you all. That's Sarah from
Gadigalette. Don't even know which one that is.
So. Gen X is the one under boomers, but before millennials. And we'll get to that in a minute. They've got a bit to say about all of this. And somebody else says, as long as these millennials learn to put their phones on silent, we're going to be okay. Do you reckon, like, Rafferty is going to change the country, society, having fewer boomers? Like, I don't know, like, politicians, are they going to be listening more to young people now that they know that they make up such a big proportion of the population?
Well, I mean, there may be more millennials, but who's got the money? Like, the boomers still have most of the money, and I think that, you know, at the end of the day, I guess, to quote Kid Ink, you know, money is where the power is.
Hey, yeah, it's true. And we've got some people on the line who've got very big thoughts on this. We have Quinn. Quinn, are you there?
Yeah.
What's your view?
I just think it's interesting that by the time the boomers pull off the perch, you know, it's hard to think about, but... we're going to be inheriting their wealth at, you know, the ages of 50, 60 when we won't really need it. We will have, you know, gone through our careers and it's really the next generation.
Right. Should we all take a pledge right now, all millennials, we will not accept inheritance and pass it on to Gen Zs?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think what will actually happen is they'll have to do some kind of taxation to pay for all the lack of productivity we've had in the past, you know, 30 years.
Interesting, Quinn. I mean, the point that you're making here is a point that, you know, several people have made. Like, do you think, is it that millennials are going to be the new boomers, that as time goes on, they'll become more conservative, more opinionated, more annoying?
Oh, I've been thinking about this because... I guess
I'm talking about you, by the way.
Yeah, thank you. I'm so annoying. But do you become more conservative as you get older, or do you just get more life experience? And I think it's more like, you know, our views and our values and our political beliefs, I guess, are based on life experience, you know, moving and meeting new people and having those experiences. But also as you get older, your priorities change. Maybe you have a kid, maybe you buy a house, you have a business, things like that. But I don't think that we will end up the same as boomers, because we will have different experiences. We already do. We already do have different priorities. And I think we are seeing that. I think that younger people are really loud and vocal and excited about the world, you hope. So, no, I don't think we can end up the same. But, of course, you know, cynically, maybe some people will become conservative and old school.
Yeah, it's a good point. We've got many more messages coming through. I love all the catchphrases, guys. Somebody said, now, don't be a silly Millie being millennial. Somebody else says, just wait until Parliament House ages out of the Triassic period. Another person, Paul, says, cry me a river. I don't actually know what Paul's referring to there, who he's talking about, the
Justin
boomers.
Timberlake?
Oh, maybe.
That's like a classic Facebook comment from a boomer, like at you know, her nephew or something.
Thanks, Boomer Paul. And somebody else says, the most pointless generalisation is engaging in generalities about generations. That was really hard to say, Jim from Brisbane. Thank you very much for putting me through that. As we heard about, we're talking about Gen X briefly before. That's the other generation that's had a lot to say about this. Number of Gen Xs coming out. And remember, Gen X is under boomers but before millennials. They now make up less than 20%. So as we get more people in the younger generations, they're being sort of, you know, they're becoming less and less of a proportion of the population. And they're saying, we're being forgotten. This is ridiculous. We need to step up. We need to take on the millennials. We need to fight for what's ours. Is it true, Raf, that we just forget about Gen X?
Yeah, I think Gen X made a fatal error on the way up. In that, you know, and a lot of maybe younger listeners won't remember this, but when I was very young, the Gen X vibe was, if you played computer games, that was you're a nerd, you're a geek, that's uncool. Yeah. Like technology, any kind of, it was, don't do it, that's for nerds. And it's like, well, you mucked that one up, didn't you? So, you know.
Computers are cool.
That's true, actually. And we've also got, the alphas. Now, no one's talking about the alphas. Mm. They're coming up quickly. Goodness. They're children aged 9 or under, and they already account for 12% of all Australians. So,
and they do coding in prep as well.
I know.
They're going to take over the world.
I know. They've really got a lot of things going for them. But there was also other stuff that was interesting in the census, other big findings, like almost 40% of respondents classified themselves as not religious, right? That's like almost double the proportion from just 10 years ago. Did that surprise you, Izza, at all?
No, that didn't surprise me much at all. And I think that's just because people are moving away from religions, I think. I think more people are more spiritual. Also, I guess our country is changing in terms of, you know, people coming in and out. So, no, that doesn't surprise me, not much. I do wonder where the Gen X people are, but maybe they moved overseas.
Yeah, maybe. Raph, what do you think?
No, it doesn't surprise me. I think also, I mean, in the past, people used to talk about you just write whatever kind of religion you were told you were as a kid, even if you weren't practicing, and maybe as, especially millennials grow older, they kind of stop doing that.
Yeah.
But no, it doesn't surprise me.
Do you guys like the census data? Like, do you get really excited when they're like, the census results are coming in, guys. We're about to release them. I don't know, you're a journo, so maybe you do. You're like, this is a great snapshot of society and history right in front of us. You love it?
I do love data. I think it really does tell a story. That sounds so lame, but it is so true. And also interesting because this has been like the pandemic census as well. So you're kind of seeing what's going on. But then, yeah, you can kind of compare and see what's happening in the country. And it's important for policy making decisions and all of that. So, yeah, it's interesting to see where the country's going.
It is kind of weird. Like, some people love it. Our political reporter, Claudia Long, she's obsessed with the census. She really loves getting into those facts and figures. Raph, I wonder, though, like, maybe years ago when this was a big opportunity to gather a lot of information about people, it was more useful than now. We're being harvested for data all the time. Mm. Maybe people already know a lot about us and the census isn't as important. I don't know. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I mean, I actually once handed out the census when I was much younger.
Oh,
I was
whoa. You're pro census.
I was a census guy. You know, this is like so much data about the population. I think it's kind of important. It's a feeling of oneness, right? Everyone in Australia, finally, we're all kind of doing the same thing and contributing to the same thing as a nation.
It's true. It's nice to sit down. And like there's such a big, as Izza was saying, like in the face of the pandemic, there was a big participation rate. It was something ridiculous. It was like 98% of people contributed to the census because there was nothing else to do. We got a lot of comments coming through on the generation stuff. Someone says Gen Z are the smashed Avo lovers. Leave us millennials alone. Interesting. I think millennials get branded with that as well. Somebody else says Boomer keep telling me I'll get more rights as I get older, but I keep getting more left as I age. Someone says millennials are too self-aware to become boomers. And another person says it is possible to be young and conservative. Interesting. Of course it is. We've got people of all ages, of all political views listening, and we love to hear from you.
Hack. Like, it's 2022. It's not okay to just assume that this one blanket rule can cover everybody with a tattoo.
On Triple J.
Yeah, so we got a lot of reaction this week when we told you this story about a Papuan Australian woman who was recently denied entry to a Brisbane nightclub because of her cultural facial tattoos. So many of you reached out and said, yeah, this has happened to us and we're sick of it.
Hack.
There's like this law that banned face, hand and neck tattoos, like you're not allowed in certain places because of it.
And designer labelled apparel.
And he looks at my licence, then he looks at me and he says, I can't let you in because of your face. I have multiple what we call Reva, which is normally referred to as tattoos by the rest of the community.
The marks belong to her mother's tribe in Papua New Guinea and they hold deep cultural significance.
I'm a school teacher, so the Department of Education will employ me, but I can't eat at a particular restaurant.
Like, it's 2022. It's not okay to just assume that this one blanket rule can cover everybody with a tattoo. It's ridiculous.
On Triple J.
Yeah, I want to hear from you if you can relate to this one. Do you get kicked out of places or denied entry because of something inoffensive or maybe something related to your culture? Or maybe you missed out on a job, for instance? Let me know. 1300 055 536. That's the number you can call in on. Or you can message in as well, 0439 757 555, with me to chat about this one, Raf Dixon and Iza Stashkovsky. Raf, you're no stranger to nightclubs, right? You've been to a few over the years. Is this something that you've noticed a lot over the years, people being turned away because of, you know, different stuff and, you know, dress codes, all the rest of it?
Yeah, I mean, it is a funny situation, right? Because you effectively have, I guess, a security guard fashion policing in a way. Like, their job seemingly is to infer everything about a person just by looking at them, like, within a few seconds.
Yeah.
And then making a decision.
What could possibly go wrong with that, right?
Right, yeah. Exactly. So, yeah, I have seen it. I don't know what the solution is. Like, you can't force every nightclub to take every single person in or what have you.
Yeah. And we had like comments, people saying that, oh, you can't expect to get into every place. I don't know. Issa, do you think this kind of policy's outdated?
Yeah, absolutely. So outdated. And I mean, you know, the clothes that you wear to a wedding are different to what you wear to the beach and to a work site. Like, you know, just, I think it is discrimination and I think it's outdated. So people know what they're doing. Just let people be.
We've got someone on the line now. Link is there. Link, you've got a neck tattoo, right?
Yeah, so I have my throat, both sides of the neck and hands tattooed, and have definitely been excluded from bars and restaurants and missed out on quite a lot of job opportunities as well.
Wow. Okay. And so is it something that you think about when you go to a venue now? Are you like, oh, what's going to happen here?
Oh, look, absolutely. And even when I do get let in, like, you definitely do get a lot of the looks. And I understand, because I lived in Queensland for a while, and I know the laws up there are centered around bikies because they have tattoos that are gang related, but it's just not like that anymore. So it's just quite outdated.
Hey, this is a weird question, but like, do you ever wear like turtlenecks or whatever to kind of cover it up? You're like, oh gosh, I don't want anyone to see this today.
Oh, I absolutely have before. I've gone to the lengths to go to engagement party and I wore a turtleneck and even like gloves on my hands at dinner.
What the hell?
I could get in. And even before I did do that, they were still reluctant to let me in though.
Yeah, right, because we heard from someone yesterday actually who said that they've got tats on their hands and before they were allowed into a place, someone made them go to a convenience store next door to buy some gloves to put on and then they were allowed in, which sounds really strange. Thanks so much for calling in, Link. I really appreciate that. I don't know, Raf, we're seeing workplaces becoming more accepting of tattoos, like airlines, Virgin Atlantic, I think flight attendants are now allowed to display their tattoos. Do you reckon society really has moved on or is trying to move on with this?
Well, I think, I mean, businesses are incentivized to do whatever's going to bring them cash, right? And it is true that I think, obviously, tattoos are very prevalent amongst younger people. We just spoke about millennials being the biggest group. So you'd think it would change because otherwise, I mean, you ban everyone who's got tattoos. You're not going to get a lot of young people into your venues.
Yeah, that's true. We've got another person who's called in. Regan's on the line. Hey, Regan, what's been your experience?
Yeah, not too long ago, just down at a casino on the Gold Coast and doing the right thing. We sort of covered our tattoos up with a bit of makeup from the brother's wife. Been in there for a while. And yeah, as soon as I decided to take off the makeup, stepped out of the bathrooms, got told to leave straight away.
Wow.
And the only reason was, yeah, how'd you get in here? I'm like, mate, we've been in there for, you know, 5 hours. Right. Not causing any drama. Told to leave straight away.
Yeah, Regan, a lot of similar experiences to you popping through on the text line. We've got messages as well. Somebody says, I'm a flight attendant at an Australian airline and we aren't allowed tattoos at all. This extends to cultural tattoos. I can't see how this is not discriminatory. Somebody else says, if it's a blanket thing and everyone's told no, then it's not discrimination. The business owner has a right to display their business the way they want. They are the ones running it. It's their money on the line. Somebody else says, I saw a photo of this person who was mentioned in our story, and I reckon they looked pretty nice, even approachable and friendly, not threatening or anything at all. I don't know, like some venue owners say this is about stopping people with tattoos intimidating other people. Mm-hmm. Others are pointing to, alcohol laws, like Queensland's liquor laws, you know, ask people to, businesses to take steps to refuse people wearing items associated with criminal organisations. Do you think that we just have this outdated view that younger people see tattoos, for instance, in a much different way than people of older generations?
Definitely. And I don't think I would judge anyone for whatever tattoo they had. Like, your doctor might be covered head to toe in tattoos, and it's like, so what? It doesn't reflect if someone is going to be, you know, violent at the bar or not. I think that there should be a way that you can differentiate if someone's in a violent gang other than, you know, that they have a tattoo on their hand or their neck. Like, it is totally discrimination. And it's really actually sad to hear everyone calling up and saying that that's been their experience, because, you know, how stressful. Every time you're going out, you're worried about that. It's just a tattoo.
Yeah, and also something that, you know, we need to think about is Western society, you know, having a different view on this, because, you know, there are still a lot of people in Western societies that see tattoos as symbols of criminality or something. But the fact is that in other countries, they're seen very differently. In Pacific countries, for instance, you know, tattoos are about belonging. And this person who was telling their story was saying that my tattoos are a big part of my identity. It tells the history of my people. It tells what community I belong to. Then we have people kind of taking it another step, Raph, and we had someone out there being like, well, what about thongs? But thongs are a symbol of, the bogan culture. What do we think about that? They should be allowed as well. You reckon that's a step too far?
Might be a bit of a slippery slope. I think what we need is our next PM has to have a neck tat.
Yeah, okay. Do you reckon that's something that's doable in the next few years?
Yeah, or maybe, let's give it maybe two elections.
Maybe the alpha generation, once they step up, the alpha PM might have a neck tat.
Yeah, love it.
Who knows? Somebody says on the text line, teaching has definitely become more accepting of tattoos. Yet, that's another person we heard from yesterday said that they're a school teacher, a young school teacher, and they find it weird that a lot of venues take issue with, his neck tattoo, but the Department of Education obviously doesn't. Somebody else says, I'm covered in tats, but they're all able to be covered up. When I first got tattooed, I was warned they are job stoppers and you can be discriminated for them. Somebody else, in this day of inclusion, tattoos are in the same boat as any other discrimination. And another person says, how are the Baristas going to get into the club? That was Dan from Manly. Yeah, fair point there, Dan. And I think it's time to move on to some politics now.
Hack.
It's a real pleasure to be meeting with a great progressive leader. We'll be talking lots with Tony and all our friends in Australia.
On Triple J.
Yeah, look, it was bound to happen again. When it comes to global politics, sometimes we just got to admit here in Australia, we're not as big as we think we are, right? We go around there thinking people know us, and clearly they don't. And so Prime Minister Anthony Albanese was probably pretty humbled when he met the Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau overnight. Justin kind of forgot his name when they met in Spain. And then kind of a bit later, he called Anthony Albanese Tony, which is definitely not a name that we call him here. Look, we've all been in this situation, right, when you do forget someone's name and you're not sure exactly what to do. I want to know what your strategy is. When you forget somebody's name, do you have a get out of jail card? What do you do? What's the best way to get around this? Some good tactics? Let me know, 0439 757 555. Or if you've got a particularly good story about this or embarrassing story, I want to hear from you. 1300 055536. You can call in. On the shake-up with me, Izza Sashkovsky and Raph Dixon. Hey, Izza, what was this? Did Justin Trudeau forget the PM's name, or was he just trying to be heaps friendly and awkward? I don't know. What did you think of this?
He forgot his name, 100%.
Did you watch it and go, oh, I know what he's stalling here. He's stalling.
Yes. You can see he's like, the cogs are turning, but it's not coming. And oh, how awkward. And like, we've all been there. Like, you've forgotten someone's name and gone, oh, bugger. But yeah, I think you're right. Like, other countries, maybe we're just a little island nation that don't really know about our ever-changing PMs, but cringe.
Maybe. Someone, Reese, says, how do we know he meant Tony as in short for Anthony? My first thought was that he could only remember Tony Abbott's name. We've had four PMs in as many years, though, so it's a lot to keep up with. Yeah, fair point, Reese. What about you, Raph? Are you a big fan of shortening names? Like if you met me and I was like, hello, my name is David Marchese, would you be like, Dave-o, what's up?
Mate, fam, bro, brother.
You're into it.
Yeah, no, I'm more of a that kind of guy. It means that I can you know, avoid having to remember anything.
Right, and is that your strategy?
Oh, yeah.
Interesting. Right. Okay. And are you a name kind of person?
No.
Oh, okay. Issa, what about you? Because some people are really good and I like really just think these people are amazing when they meet somebody and they'll just know their name forever. What kind of person are you?
I definitely try to, but I have a bit of a hypocritical opinion here because my name is Issa, which is short for Isabella, but I hate nicknames. I really, really, really hate them. I like calling people by their first full name.
Hold on. I've been calling you Issa. Is that cool?
Yeah. No. Well, yes. Yes. I see, that's the thing. If I say Isabella, people go Izzy, which isn't my name.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So right. Issa is short for Isabella. It's a Polish shortening.
Okay.
But, yeah, I think you've got to ask people what they want to be called, and I think it's really respectful to remember someone's name. It happens that you forget it, sure. But yes, get out of jail free card, order a coffee, get them to introduce themselves to someone else.
Oh, yeah, that's true. One of my worst fears is when, you know, the situation when you meet up with someone, you've forgotten their name, and then someone else, you know, joins and those two people don't know each other and they're waiting for you to introduce them to each other. And you're like, I don't know what to do here. And I fully go into meltdown. You can see it on my face. I break out in a sweat. It's not looking good at all. We've got other messages coming through from people. Someone says, plenty of people think it's okay to call Anthony Tony. Trust me, that's from somebody called Anthony. Another person says, how do we know he meant, oh, I've already read that text. That was someone talking about Tony Abbott. Yeah, maybe we do need to start calling him Tony. We've been missing this nickname or shortening of the name for Anthony Albanese all these years. Weird. Another thing that happened that was pretty weird at this meeting of G7 leaders, it was actually a bit earlier in the week, was they were caught, the leaders, on camera kind of taking the piss out of Russian President Vladimir Putin. They were laughing about, you know, that shirtless pic of him, the really famous one of him up on the horse, and people like to, you know, make a lot of memes out of it or the rest of it. Well, Putin's actually replied, and he said that he thinks it would be disgusting to see the G7 leaders strip off, and he also said that they were fat. I don't know, is this high school? What's going on?
That is so high school. But also, I don't want to see any politician with their kid off on a horse. Like, no, please don't do it. But, weird. Weird vibes coming from politicians.
I completely disagree with you on that one, Issa.
Oh, what? Who do you want to see?
I want to see them all. Lids off. Really? G20. Calendar, maybe, for charity.
It's
true. Anyone specific that you want to see?
You name it. Boris Johnson. Ooh. I reckon he'd be a real looker under there.
Oh, don't.
I reckon
come
we would
on,
know
Raph.
What Emmanuel Macron would look like.
No.
Macron's got that hairy chest too.
Oh, guys, what is this? Is this is this after hours? What are we doing? Guys are going to have to put some kind of warning on this show now. In all seriousness, though, I don't know, Raph, does it concern you that world leaders talk like this behind each other's back when there's such serious issues at play? Like, we're talking about, you know, war and countries trying to negotiate some sort of peace deal, and they're like, eh, what about old mate with his shirt off? Do you think that this is a bit crazy?
No, I assume that it's intentional, right? I mean, like, especially strong leaders, they're always trying to present themselves in this strong masculine light, and I guess the counter-propaganda is to take the mickey out of them, right? I assumed that it was intentional.
Right, okay.
Like that image thing is, you know, big, strong, tough leader, you know, I do kung fu, etc.
Yeah.
Big vibe for quasi-dictators.
Yeah, that's true. What about you, Isabel? Did it surprise you at all? Like, I know you were like, this is very high school, but did you think, what is happening here? Come on, guys. Can we get some credibility back to international foreign diplomacy? What are we doing?
Oh, when did it ever have it?
Well, that's the thing. And that's what you'd love. But yeah, it reminds you of something out of Rake. And it's probably what it is like. But I agree with you, Raph. I do think that they are kind of doing that on purpose. And maybe they're just, you know, doing some deals under the table while they're just having a laugh about riding on a horse naked. So who knows?
Who knows? You know, we've got a lot of messages coming through from people talking about the tricks if you want to remember somebody's name. Somebody says the trick is you ask, how do you spell your name? So yeah, we had
Good one.
As you write those names in a diary or something, if their first name is obvious spelling, just say, sorry, I meant your last name. You can still get caught out like I did. The name was literally John Smith. Yeah, that would be awkward. How do you spell John Smith?
Middle, folks. I meant middle name.
Yeah. yeah, so true. You know, another person I heard this week said, you know, if you get it wrong, like go in with just guess, say something, just make up a name. And when they're like, that's not my name, be like, oh, that's, you told me that was your name. All those years ago, you told me. I don't think that gaslighting approach really works at all. Yeah, I wouldn't recommend that. Hey guys, that's all we've got time for on the Shake Up this week. Huge thanks to our Shake Up guests, reporter on the Today Show, Isabella Staszkowski. Is a thank you.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
Of course, anytime. We love to have you on. And musician, podcaster, small business owner, Raf Dixon, thank you. Enjoy the weekend, and I'm sorry, you're going to be hard at work.
Thank you for having me, David. And it's Raphael.
Oh, sorry. I'm so sorry, my lord.
Hack on Triple J.
And that's all we've got time for on Hack for this week. A huge thanks to our Shake Up guests, reporter on the Today Show, Isa Staszkowski, and small business owner, musician, podcaster, Raf Dixon as well. And a big thanks to the hardworking Hack crew, executive producer, Claire Bloomer, our senior producer, Serge Negus, AJ Williams for all the sick production, and the rest of the hardworking Hack team as well. I'll catch you next week. Have a great weekend.